Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Elizabeth Barrett Browning said to Charles Kingsley, "What, sir, is the secret of your life? Tell me that I may make mine beautiful too." After some thought, Kingsley answered, "Madam, I had a friend." I had a friend. Friends, they make a difference, don't they? Friends can be people with which we share a common interest or hobby or goal. It's said that friends go around, make the world go around. Friends are the ones who have helped me through life, helped me share my joys. We all need friends with which to celebrate our joys, don't we? And we need friends for those rough times, too. We need friends during those times when life is just so frustrating, times we need someone to show they care and are willing to listen. Ralph Waldo Emerson added another dimension to friendship. He said, "It's one of the blessings of old friends that you can afford to be stupid with them." That's what friends are for: caring, sharing, loving, crying, laughing. But friendship isn't easy. Friendship creates many demands. Being a friend in many respects is one of the hardest things we'll ever do. Friendship is harder than being an employee. To be a friend means we're self-employed. There's no one to tell us how to do it. We're basically left to our own devices. There's no overtime pay, yet the hours are long and often irregular. Being a friend means taking time out of a busy day to hold someone's hand while she waits in the doctor's office, or listening as he tells the results of medical tests for what seems like the 100th time. It means talking to him on the telephone in the middle of the night when he wakes up afraid. It means agonizing with her over decision to move and celebrating with her when she gets settled in her new place. Being a friend, says, means I'll go with you when your friend is afraid to go alone. It means saying I'm sorry when we're wrong. It means caring about people so much that we get our own hopes and fears all mixed up with their own, and we want the best for them as much as we want the best for ourselves. I think, to say it most simply, the Bible would tell us that when you love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing friendship right. In our scripture from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear about a friend to all named Joseph, whom the early church leaders called Barnabas. I have to warn you, Barnabas is my favorite New Testament character. I liked Barnabas so much that I wanted to name our second son Barnabas. That's the gospel truth, but my wife thought with a name like Barnabas Whitlock, our child would end up a TV detective, and she didn't want that. Right? That's the truth. So as friends, we compromised and named him after my favorite Hebrew Bible character, Nathan. I guess it's a good thing my favorite character wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Although Shadrach Whitlock does have a ring to it. Well, anyway, back to Barnabas. Barnabas, he was called the son of encouragement. He was called that because that's the type of person he was. That's the type of friend he was. He encouraged people. He restored their hope. Let me illustrate that by telling you the story of Barnabas. Barnabas is mentioned three times in the Acts of the Apostles. Once, when the early church leaders refused to let a new preacher in their group. The new preacher had a shaky background. They refused to let him in. He had marks on his record. He had flaws in his character. His resume didn't stack up. Barnabas knew his friend wasn't perfect, but he knew his friend had changed, and he was a friend to him. In fact, as a friend, Barnabas argued on behalf of his friend and convinced the church leaders, just give the guy a chance. We know the new preacher as Paul. Without Barnabas, we have no Paul in the early church and in the Bible. You see, friends stick up for friends. A second time Barnabas is mentioned is found in today's scripture. The Jerusalem church was short of money. Barnabas sold everything he had, gave the money to the church. Friends are generous with things that mean the most to them: time, talent, and yes, treasure for God's work. A third time he is mentioned is the first missionary trip of the Apostle Paul. Paul went with Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark couldn't handle the pressure and the difficulties, so he returned a defeated person. I imagine feeling like a failure. Later, when Paul and Barnabas return, John Mark repents, pleads for a second chance. But the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote in Galatians 6, 1 and 2, that if people make mistakes, we need to pick them up, we need to restore them. In the heat of that moment, the Apostle Paul refuses to give John Mark a second chance. But there was Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Barnabas steps in, tells John Mark of his great future, and Barnabas takes John Mark on a missionary journey, and they succeeded in their task. Paul takes Silas. Being a friend means believing in and depending upon each other. Now, to his credit, Paul, at the end of his life, wrote in 2 Timothy that John Mark's ministry had become a help to him. But it was certainly the son of encouragement, Barnabas, with God's help, who first believed in him and his calling to ministry. I'm one who believes that God provides. Yet adding up the pieces, I have to ask, is it possible we wouldn't have the letters of Paul if Barnabas hadn't convinced a stubborn and overly cautious church to step out in faith, to let a stranger in their midst? Is it possible we wouldn't have the gospel according to Mark? The gospel which Matthew and Luke depend upon heavily to write their gospels, if Barnabas hadn't been the son of encouragement, hadn't picked up a battered, beaten person, restored him, made him feel good about himself again? Is it possible the Jerusalem church wouldn't have survived if not for the generosity of Barnabas? Can you see why he's my favorite New Testament character? When I look at it, what a difference Barnabas made in the New Testament and beyond to all who have read it. What a difference he made to the first century church and beyond. What a difference he made simply by being a friend and helping those out around him. Friends do encourage one another, and we need that kind of spirit within us. For my friends, you don't have to have 20/20 eyesight to see the pain, to hear the cries of the people of this world, this country, this town. There are even people in this congregation who are in desperate need of some encouragement, who need sons and daughters of encouragement to pick them up, tell them of their great future, stick up for them, and be generous to them, and believe in them, and restore some hope. Is it possible we have another Apostle Paul or John Mark in our church family? Someone who made mistakes yesteryear needs to know of God's grace today. Boy, count me among that. That thought comes to mind when I see people, when I see a person so bright yet so difficult to be around. I try to picture someone like the Apostle Paul. Or maybe someone feels like they've been kicked while they're down, someone who needs someone to believe in them. I like to see them as John Mark. And I pray that all of us might have the patience, the courage necessary to be sons and daughters of encouragement with each other, so that all might know of God's great gifts. Barnabas, the very word means child of encouragement. Like McDonald means child of Donald, Bar meant son or child, Nabas meant encouragement, Barnabas. So who are the people in your life right now, right here, right now, who need that kind of encouragement? I bet you can think of a few. People across the miles or close by. People who need someone to believe in them. Can you be that person? Can you be a child of encouragement and help this day? My prayer is that we might see others as God sees them, not just our friends, the people we like, but everyone. It's my hope that you and I can be children of encouragement. Yes, that's a challenge. Doing our job right as sons and daughters isn't easy. It's not going to add money to your bank account or take away your own pain. But it's more than a job. It's our calling. And one of the ways we fulfill our calling is to tell our friends of our faith and our church. You see, I'm proud of this church. I just spent a couple of days this week with other UCC clergy in our conference, and I heard their stories. And I'm proud of this church. There may be ones that are bigger. There may be ones with spectacular architecture or huge pipe organs, ones with lots of staff. We're not nearly the biggest, but I think this is a great place. We don't always take ourselves seriously around here, but we do take seriously caring for others. Are we perfect? Heavens, no. But God is enabling some great things to happen here, some lives to be changed. If you're looking for a friendly place to worship and serve God, if you have room in your life for a few imperfect friends that will become like family, if you believe God welcomes everyone and loves everyone, I hope you consider coming back and joining us and explore how God is calling us to minister to this world, to this nation, to this town. We're glad you came today. Thanks be to God.